Make us a favorite button on your browser.
It's sending a transmission of some kind.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the internet.
And now, let's get back to Barely Legal with Robin Earle and David Spada. Whoa.
We are the Barely Legal Show, David Spada, myself, Robin Earle. Hey, I tell you what, man, we have got a lot to talk about, man, with the Blago situation, the politics, the Cubs finally getting an owner, but we got a guy on the line right now. We want to talk a little NFL football, particularly with the biggest game of the year coming up, the Super Bowl. Good friend of mine, former teammate. And just a guy that loves to play golf, and of course that's where I see him on the golf course most of the time. But we got Mr. Bob Avellini on the phone. How you doing, Bob?
Great, Robin. Hi, Robin. Hi, David.
How you doing, Bob?
Great, great.
Hey,
by the way, we can talk about other things besides sports. If you want to talk about Blagojevich.
Oh, love to.
Me.
Yeah, love to. I don't know if you've been listening in or not, but we always get every week we got to get a little on the Blago. You know, with Linda, his wife, losing her $100,000 a year job. I don't know what she was doing with the charity, but who knows?
Right. Well, Robin, people like us, we figure that everything revolves around sports, but you know, that's not exactly the way things are in the world.
Absolutely. Hey, I know that Dave asked me this morning. He says, "Isn't Bob involved in some real estate?" I said, yeah, you know, he's an investor. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I own small apartments on the west side of Chicago, and, you know, the sooner I get rid of them, the better I like it. It's very difficult to deal with the city of Chicago. If you talk about politics, you know, I can ramble on for a while. I know you don't want to do that, but, you know, all they do is continue to raise taxes, do nothing for you. And, you know, we've got a guy in there, Todd Stroger.
Oh, boy. Urkel.
Who couldn't find his way out the door, but he's in charge. And all they do, instead of being accountable for how they spend the money, they just say, okay, all we need to do is raise taxes. And eventually, you know, there's not going to be anything left for, you know, the people who actually run the city, and those are the taxpayers.
You know, absolutely. We were talking about the CEO of Merrill Lynch getting the axe this morning. And because he got kind of a little loose with the bailout money, you know, he paid out $4 million bonuses to his cronies, and then he spent
$4 billion.
Yeah, was it $4 billion?
It was a lot. It was
a lot of money. Yeah. And then he spent $1.22 million on his office, on his penthouse office, and $35,000 of that went to a commode,
and $230,000 for his limo driver.
Oh, we forgot that part. Did you know his limo driver Bob made $238,000 last year?
Okay, I'd like to know if the limo driver actually got it, or was that like siphoned off to other people? Now, there's nothing you know what? The one thing I found about politics, a politician's job isn't for the good of the country. It's really to get elected and to get reelected. That's all a politician's job is. Now, for, you know, a guy, you know, running Merrill Lynch, who's looking for handouts all the time, I'd love to be in the same business. Boy, it always seems that the government's my partner when times are good. When times are bad, they say, you know, Bob, who?
Exactly. You know, you're absolutely hit on the head there about these politicians. If they have a four-year term, first they spend 2 years prior to getting elected, then 2 years into their being what they're doing, then they got to start running for re-election, collecting money and so forth. When the hell do they actually do their job?
Robin, I hope as well as anybody that you know, Obama, you know, is successful and everything like that. But Robin, he's got a little bit more experience than me and you. That's it. I think he was a senator for 3 years or something like that. He's been politicking for 2 years of those three. So I mean, he just has a little bit more experience than us. That's all.
He would have never been president. Remember when Mike Ditka was going to run against him, and all of a sudden he basically withdrew. If Ditka would have beat him, you would not see him as president. You would have seen the coach as president.
Well, also the other guy who had to drop out because, you know, they're going through an ugly divorce, and you know that
Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan, when they were out in Europe at the strip club, he brought his wife to the strip club and they came out.
Yes, and well, you know, I mean, who doesn't do something like that? So she has to bring that up in divorce papers, and he doesn't want he doesn't want to have anything to do with that. So he says he's better off dropping out. Probably the same reason why Caroline Kennedy, you know, pulled her name out for senator. Who would want to run for politics right now, except for you know, for the power and for the money
and for the prestige of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I like to wish everybody well. We're not bad, evil people, but sooner or later we got to get those old cronies out of office, like the Ted Kennedys and that regime. They've got to go bye-bye.
I truly believe that when a person starts, they want to do all the right things. But once they get in there, they see that everybody else is doing some things that are, you know, under the table. Why shouldn't they? And so they just take care of themselves. I mean, you know, Blagojevich is an unbelievable example of that. And you're right about, you know, Mrs. Blagojevich. I mean, I'm in the real estate business. I was a broker. We knew it for a long time. She was getting fed these unbelievable properties that were being sold for more than what they were worth. And she was, you know, she was getting the commissions on them. Everybody knew that. But, you know, it always seems like we look back and we say, just like in baseball, in the steroid age, we could look back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and say, yeah, these guys were juicing up. They were taking steroids. You know what? We should have known it at that time, too, and done something about it.
Bob, let's get to the Bears real quick. What do you think about this quarterback situation with Kyle Orton? You think he's the guy? You think they should look to draft a quarterback?
You know, David, it's so hard to even say. I mean, you got to surround him with some game breaker receivers. I mean, I won't say you need a Jerry Rice or anything like that, but football is made up of, you know, 90 to 95% of the game is played even, and 5% of the game is, you know, made, you know, from big plays.
Right.
And you tell me a receiver out there who can make a big play, and I don't, you know, I would not say that Orton is the problem right now. I think that you need to surround himself. Give him at least one, you know, decent receiver in there.
I believe our draft position is number 18 in the first round, and of course, the Crabtree out of Texas Tech is projected to go number 4 or 5, according to Mr. Mel Kiper. That's the type of player that the Bears need, but you know the Bears, they'll probably slide down so they can pick up more quantity or more quality or more quantity instead of quality and save money on the bottom line. But they need some receivers to you know with Kyle to help them out, for God's sakes. It's ridiculous.
What about Bolden? Bolden's supposedly available. He's bitching and moaning about Fitzgerald getting all the catches. I'd love to see him with the Bears next year.
It's too cold here. He doesn't want to come to Chicago.
David, I agree with you. I mean, it's everybody looks to the draft like it's some kind of savior. You tell me, you know, how many guys, all right, I know that the two quarterbacks made a difference. The one in Atlanta, Ryan and Flacco, made a difference for their team.
Sure did, right.
But, you know, they also did make a difference, Ryan especially.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, you know, how many rookies actually make a difference to their team? I mean, probably the guy who made one of the best impressions was Forte.
Forte,
you know.
Right.
So I mean, but you know, tell me a receiver that makes a difference right away. I mean, the Bears have been good now for a few years. They need to get somebody over the top. They need to get a receiver, you know, that can make a big play. And I mean, if it means a trade, you know, there are no trades in football. I mean, everything that they say about football in terms of there are no guaranteed contracts, there are no, you know, trades, you very seldom see it. All they do is they maybe swap salaries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bears can
mm-hmm.
pick up a so-called free agent, which that's another fallacy, too, in football. I can remember when we were playing, Robin, I think that Walter Payton was a free agent 2 or 3 times. He got no offers.
He got no offers. There was no trade. There's no free agency. There,
right.
there was none of that crap when we played.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and then if they think you're good, too good, then they'll put a franchise tag on you, and you can't do anything anyway.
Yeah, just Castle from New England.
Look, when you were at the Bears in the late 70s, early 80s, the Bears turned it around when they basically got Dennis McKinnon, who was a good possession receiver, could catch the ball. And what did Willie Gault do? He would just, they'd say, Willie, run and catch the ball. And I think that's what Devin should be. Just Devin, run and catch the ball. You need a guy who could go over the middle and make the big catch like Dennis McKinnon could.
You know, I agree with that. I think it started turning around when they drafted Jimbo Covert. They got a left tackle that,
yep,
that could protect. And Jimbo made a difference. McMahon played quarterback. He didn't make mistakes, so he was good. He and Steve Fuller, they were good enough not to make mistakes. They didn't make any great plays. It was their defense. If you have a defense that's as awesome as them, you need big plays. Well, their defense was making the big plays. It wasn't so much their offense. And so their defense was making big plays. McKinnon was a great possession receiver, and Willie, you know, could just go long down the sideline and stuff like that. He was good at that. But I think that their defense offset a lot of the, that the offense didn't have to make as many big plays back then. The game has changed a bit because now it's such a much more wide open game, and you've got to be able to make big plays.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the receiver core of the Bears. We've discussed this several times. You've got a Marty Booker who's a total flat tire right now. I mean, his career is pretty much old.
I don't even think he played much.
No. Towards the end of the year, he was either hurt or there was an issue there. Then you got this Brandon Lloyd. If he gets a hangnail, he doesn't want to play. You know.
Right, he had a couple of good games in there, though.
A couple. He could catch the ball. Then, of course, Rashid Davis had the drop season in the middle of the year, and then Devin Hester. I thought Devin Hester did admirably. You know, I mean, for a full time, for doing a receiver. Obviously, you saw the effects of his return game.
Well, if it was up to me, I'd make Devin Hester like a third down receiver, where you put him in a slot. And say, okay, all you got to do is, if the guy's playing on the inside of you, break outside. If he's playing outside, break inside. And, hopefully he could be a possession-type receiver that can break it. I don't think that he's your number one receiver. I don't think I would play him as my number one receiver. And then hopefully then you could put him back as return guy. But, let's face it, return men don't have a real long lifespan either.
No, they don't. It was amazing how the guy that leads the NFL in all-time returns, the kid from the Redskins, right? His name skips my mind right now. But
Hall?
No.
I know who he means.
The Hall was Kansas City.
Right, and he also plays backup running back.
Right. But no, he's retired now, though. But, I mean, he played like 12, 13 years.
Right, basically his job was to return kicks. But, it doesn't mean that just because that's all you do, you're going to maintain that same efficiency in terms of returning, because there's no way that Devin Hester could keep up what he did the first 2 years.
Yeah, that of course, his first 2 years, man, that was so exciting. Now, what did he have, 6-7 returns his rookie year, 6-7 his second year? Oh, my goodness.
But why would you mess around with this? You got an all-pro kick returner who could change the game. Teams are kicking away from him. You're getting the ball at the 40-yard line, and all this changed when they sit there and put him on offense. He was thinking too much. I mean, Daniel Manning did an admirable job. He led the league in kickoff returns, but he was no...
David, the McCaskies finally ponied up, gave him some money, and they says, if we're going to give you this money, you better start doing more. That's the bottom line, right. Bob?
Robin, no matter how much the lip service they give you, say, ooh, special teams are just as important as offense or defense. You know what? That sounds really good, but it may be in terms of the outcome of certain games, but it's not true.
Yeah, exactly.
Offense, defense is, you're not going to pay... who was the great special teams player the Bears had that, they said, well, thanks for the memory?
DeGio. Went to Baltimore.
Yeah, went to Baltimore, still made All-Pro. And, the Bears could have used him, but, you're right. When it comes time to paying, and let's face it, guys, if we owned a business that winning, it would be nice to win, but if you win, you may not make as much money. The key is, and I know this is going to sound sacrilegious, the key probably in football is to be competitive and, just keep, giving your fan base saying, ooh, we're right there, we're knocking on the door, and, give them hope that we're going to win next year. And I know it sounds sacrilegious. I don't believe every team is out there to win. I think every team is out there to be competitive.
Absolutely. We are the Barely Legal Show. My partner, David Spada, myself, Robin Earl. If you want to call in and chit-chat with Bob Avellini, a 10-year vet in the National Football League. That's 888-463-6748, and that's 888-GO-FOR-IT. If you can't remember those call numbers I did, I had a hard enough time remembering the snap count sometimes. I'll never forget Bob. It was a Monday night game. Forgot who we were playing. The Rams or somebody, and I jumped offside. You threw a touchdown pass to Ricky Watts, and, man, you just cussed my ass out.
Those are the days, Robin, huh? It feels like another lifetime ago.
Oh, it really does. But let me give you one other Bob Avellini moment with me. It was my first NFL start against Kansas City, okay? And it was the 13th of December. No, actually, 13th of November, 1977. And it was, Willie Lanier was kind of the guy that I had to kind of, check before I went out my route. And I just got kind of lost track of him because, you know, Willie Lanier is kind of small. And I went out in the flat, and, of course, he blitzed and sacked Bob. And I got back in the huddle, and Bob goes, he goes, "Robin, I don't want to ever see that son of a bitch in my face ever again."
Yeah.
And you know what? He wasn't, was he?
No, I tell you, and also that game, Robin, I'll give you a compliment. You were, remember we were down with a few seconds to go, and we were down by six.
Yep.
And you caught a pass for about 20 or 30 yards, got us to midfield, and then I hit Greg Latta later on. And I mean, it was. I think we got the ball back with about 12 seconds to go, and we scored.
Exactly.
You know, we scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like about 75 yards away. But your the first catch was set up the second one to Robin Earl.
You know, it was interesting because if I remember that very vividly because it was 4th and 20, and I stretched it to 21 yards on the sidelines, just stretched the markers, and we got the first down. The next play went to Greg, and we went 28-27.
Right, right. It was an exciting game.
Yeah.
I think there were a half a dozen people left in the stands.
Yeah.
Who was the coach back then? Was it Armstrong? Was it Party?
That was Party.
Party?
Yeah, that was Jack.
Yeah, that was Party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see this, Bob, that Jimbo Covert and Trace Armstrong are being considered for NFL commissioner?
Oh, don't get me started with...
No, NFLPA, Gene Upshaw's position.
Yeah.
NFLPA,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't get Bob started on this.
Okay,
this show ain't long enough.
tell me if you got a break for a commercial right now, because I'll, you know, the way I feel about that is, you tell me if baseball, if something happened, I don't even know if Marvin Miller is still alive, but Marvin Miller or Donald Fear, if something happened to them, do you think baseball would put their initials on their uniforms for a year? The answer to that is no. And if you were a member of the union, you wouldn't want the head of your union to be, you know, idolized by management. It's an adversarial relationship. However, Gene Upshaw was not adversarial. Gene Upshaw was just there for, you know, to pad his pocket.
Well, he had his lips locked on the owner's rear end, derrieres, and you're absolutely right. He made $7.5 million the last several years per year.
That's another way of putting it. So, the point I'm trying to make: do not make the same mistake by putting an ex ball player in there. He's in way over his head. You've got to get a pit bull attorney who knows about law and knows about how to negotiate. That's what you need. We do not need another ball player in there who just wants to, you know, hold golf tournaments and you know, make
yep.
a lot of money.
Yeah, I love this side of you, Bob. I know you're Italian, but you're half Jewish, man. I love it. I love it.
Bob, hey. You're absolutely right. I mean, they put this guy's letters, GU, on every player's uniform last year. They had on the field. What other sport would put...
No other sport.
It was absolutely sickening, and then all of a sudden it kind of changed. People were saying, well, what's going on here? Then the teams took the name off the field, but they still left on the uniforms. You're absolutely right. You need someone fighting for the players, not for the management.
Right. Tell me what other union would have something like that. It's not. It's I can't begin to tell you how bad our pension is, but you know what? People don't want to hear...
It's horrible. They don't want to hear about it.
About the pension.
No.
They think that all ex-ball players, you know, are making...
Are millionaires.
Yeah, they do think that. I mean, I played 10 years. If I had played the same 10 years in baseball that I played in football, I would be making 4 or 5 times the amount that you make in football. It is a joke.
And then the union convinced a lot of these players to take their pensions early and it reduced them out because they said, you're not going to live the normal life, so take the money now.
Take the money now,
I don't know whether the union did that or anything like that, but the union is just basically there. I think they're there basically for the guys who maybe are playing now. And also, you tell them, there are no guaranteed contracts. And how many times has somebody signed a contract and say, listen, you know what, you're going to have to negotiate down on your contract now. Just go down on it and don't you know, even though you signed for tens of millions of dollars, we're only going to make it, you know, $1 million.
They should do a Tommy Harris the way he played last year.
Well, I mean, but you know what? You don't say that about baseball players. The guy is supposed to hit 300 and have 40 home runs and 120 RBIs, and he hits 270 and everything like that. Nobody says anything about that. Hey, you know what? You ought to, you know, renegotiate his contract down. They don't do it. Heck, I know the Cubs for the longest time, you know, we're paying guys that were retired for 10 years.
Unbelievable. Hey, we've got the heads up. We're going to go an extra 5 minutes. I want to keep you on the line, Bob. But I just want to tell the listening audience, you should have seen Mr. Avellini this weekend. We made an appearance at the Make a or Wish Upon a Star Foundation in Joliet to help out their foundation. And on a Friday night, I guess I didn't get there till Saturday. Bob, you went to the reception, the cocktail party, et cetera, et cetera. But he ran into some people that were one of the co-sponsors of the event, and they owned a formal wear, men's formal wear business. And Bob said he wasn't going to go out and swing the bat unless he was in a tuxedo.
Right, we had a softball game on Saturday. Now, who plays a softball game on Saturday night in like 5 below?
Right, and snowing.
With snow on the ground, you know, and it was snowing at that time.
Yep, exactly.
They did. They got me a tuxedo. I went out and I played. And you know what, Robin? It wasn't all that cold either.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, you know. And, you know, in a couple comments, when you're up at the bat and you hit a pretty nice ball out in center field, you didn't warm up. Okay, you just stepped up to the plate and whacked it, and a guy next to me says, "Now that's an athlete." I says, "Yeah, we're all that. That's what we do. We're athletes." But we kicked the state troopers' rears 24-9, but that was due to the fact that we had some former baseball players on our team, even Burris.
Ray Burris.
No, Ray Burris of the Cubs.
Oh, okay.
He looked pretty good, didn't he, for 59?
He's a big guy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, we used to always make fun of baseball players, saying, "Ah, they're no athletes or anything like that." But I think they're getting better and better. It's not like it was back in the 60s and stuff like that, where guys couldn't, you know, they never lifted weights. Now I think they're getting in better shape.
Yeah.
But all these baseball players that we played with, they were kind of like playing for independent leagues, so they're trying to catch on. It's a tough business in baseball.
David just wrote me a note here. You said something about, you know, former athletes staying in shape and so forth, but I love him to death, but old Danny Jiggets, you know, him and Mike North on the Monsters in the Morning, man. You know, he's filling up that screen.
I know. But he always had a weight problem.
Oh, I know.
He's on the seafood diet. See it and eat it.
See it and eat it. Everything.
Who knows? Maybe he's got slow metabolism. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway,
like William Perry.
Bob, how's that? Are you going away and play a little golf? I know you go to Florida once in a while. You know, you're a member at Medina Country Club. What a beautiful, beautiful club that is. And, this guy, Kerry, you're a single-digit handicapper, right?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I mean, I love to play. I love to practice. I mean, I'm probably one of the few guys, I'd rather go out there and practice for 3 hours than play, and unless I have a game with some good guys and stuff like that. But I love practicing. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've been as low as an index. You know, an index is really how you judge what you're...
Correct.
Handicap, but,
right.
I, you know, I don't know, 3 point something, and then... You know, I think I'm a 6 point something now.
Do you play with Jordan over there at Medina?
I never have. I asked him if he wanted to play, and I said to him, but I can't play. You know, I don't want to play for, you know, any big money. So Jordan's got a great line in there. He says, well, we don't have to play for big money. I says, well, okay, so what kind of money, you know, you want to play for? So he says, well, whatever makes you nervous.
That's good. I like
that's
that.
That's a good line.
Yeah, that's a real good line. Yeah. Whatever makes you nervous. Gets those butterflies going.
A guy I used to work with played with Jordan one time. They get to the 18th hole, and one of the people they're playing with is looking. He goes, "Do you realize what you're down to, Jordan?" He goes, "What?" Kid was making about $25,000 a year managing a golf store. He says, "What?" He goes, "You're down $2,000 already." This kid starts shaking on the 18th hole. He hits his ball in the water. Jordan presses. Jordan goes solo, and the kid ends up winning about $500. But the kid goes, "I was scared to death because I didn't realize it was down 2,000. They're pressing, repressing."
You know, one of my favorite presses is the air press. You know that, right, Bob?
Yeah,
the air
right.
press.
Yeah.
You're able to press when the ball's in the air.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to play a game. I mean, you could press throughout the entire hole, and you can, if you turn it down, you automatically lose that hole. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different gambling games. But you know what? I mean, what I enjoy, you know, I enjoy the camaraderie out there, being on a nice golf course. And you know what? If a few bucks pass his hands, that's fine. I'm not looking to make a mortgage payment, and I certainly don't want to lose a mortgage payment that I don't want to.
Right.
I'm not looking to, you know, take a mortgage payment from my friend.
Yeah, you know, and that's one great thing that you do, Bob, that you help out the charities and the communities and so forth. And I enjoy playing them. I got an opportunity this year, this past summer, to to play in a lot more outings because of the, you know, starting my, you know, with the Liberty Chicago teams freed me up a lot of things I get to do now and so forth. But anyway, hey, I just want to thank you for coming on, man. You are an absolute joy to have on. You're a good conversationalist, man. When you and I get together and talk politics, and oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, we solve all the world
problems. Oh, we can solve all the world problems.
So, Bob, you don't want to be executive director of the NFLPA?
You know, I'd like to be a consultant or something, but, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be I don't want to be the head guy because I just, you know what, I'd be better off served as a consultant and say, you know, speak for maybe the retired players. And the current ball players have no clue how fast it goes. In a blink of an eye, your career is over.
Gone.
And here's one last thing to leave you on. You know what, like, the average lifespan for a football player is?
3.2.
Yeah, 3.2. You know how many years you have to be to be vested?
Four.
4 years. So, I mean, the owners know what's going on.
They got it all figured out.
They'd rather cut you before you're vested in terms of paying you your pension.
Absolutely. Anyway, Bob, hey, thanks for coming on board. And we are the Barely Legal Show. David Spada, my partner, and myself, Robin Earl. And we'll be back after a couple minutes. The commercial critics claim that you should never start with a question. They might be right, but the heck with those so-called critics. So I'm going to start by asking the listeners two very important questions. Question one, how many millions of people have a home phone and or cell phone in the Chicagoland area? Question two, how many would like to have unlimited calling from their home phone and cell phones for only $24.95 a month with no credit checks, no deposits, or contracts to sign? Well, if you're like me, the only answer I can come up with is a resounding yes to both questions. Hi, Robin Earl here, and I'd like to introduce you to Liberty International and the massive rollout of WiMAX, which is going to happen very soon to the Chicagoland area. What is WiMAX, you say? Well, all I know is WiMAX is the fourth generation, or 4G as the techies call it, of wireless technology. It is designed to enable high-speed mobile internet access. Experts predict that by the end of 2010, the United States will have over 140 million subscribers to this new WiMAX technology. So what does all this mean and how does it benefit you? Well, by going on the Liberty International phone service for only $24.95 a month, and remember, there's no tax, no deposits, no credit checks or contracts to sign, and when you refer three friends or neighbors to our service, your phone service is totally free. You will never have to write a check to your home phone or cell phone provider ever again. If you'd like further information about Liberty International and the incredible opportunity it provides, please give me a call at 224-515-0500 or visit my website at robinearl.net. Again, that's 224-515-0500 or my website at robinearl.net. Get a hold of me. The only thing you got to lose is your phone bill.
The next time you're in the coffee aisle in the grocery store, pick up a can of Stewart's coffee. You're probably asking yourself, why Stewart's? Because Stewart's roasts only the finest beans and grinds those beans to perfection. By using the finest beans, you'll get a more consistent taste. This is the reason Stewart's has been around since 1912. Consistency and quality. Still family-owned and operated? You'll know Stewart's coffee because of its plaid can. You'll find cheaper coffee on the store shelves, but not the quality of Stewart's. Remember, you get what you pay for. Coffee's good, but Stewart's coffee is so good.